If he did, his retrospective mood would therefore be carrying him back to the very beginning, suffer something of a shock, and his attitude would change. Indeed, if delighting in history, modern, medieval, and ancient, his attitude would change so noticeably that an observer would imagine that his only interest was in tearing down and falsifying facts and concealing records that he could not falsify. When we hear or read the sayings of some of our misnamed great men, but in reality disgustingly conspicuous public figures, we are fully justified in making the charge of falsifying and concealing such facts as they are not really ignorant of. One of these conspicuous public characters delights in making the assertion that the Hamite Ethiopian or Negro never amounted to anything or possessed anything, never occupied an eminence, save to which the Semitic or white man had dragged or driven him up to. If ignorance alone was responsible for this glaring falsehood, a great deal of sympathy would have to go out to those who make the statement, as well as to those who believe it to be true because of their ignorance. As harsh as it may seem, sympathy would be wasted, for a great deal of the self-asserted enlightenment of today is but egotism. Much of the so-called wisdom is self-praise for successfully concealing, or at least surrounding historical facts with such mystery as to place the descendants of Shem upon an eminence which is not justly his, and make him in his own opinion appear much larger than what he really is. And yet, with all the egotism, some knowledge of the true origin of mankind exists, and it is this knowledge that causes the falsifying and hiding as much as possible of the true historical records, especially of the black man. It cannot be said that the learned historical writers, the great divines, theological students and lecturers of today are ignorant of the history of Ham, the son of Noah, and his descendants, such as Nimrod, the founder of the great ancient city of Babylon, and also Menes, the first king of Egypt and the founder of the great ancient city of Memphis. Ridpath says that the traditions of antiquity points to Memphis and Babylon as the fountains of human wisdom. If those above named are ignorant of the history of the last named, they are doing the world a great injustice in assuming the position of teacher and leader. If they are familiar with the history of the races and the deeds of men, they will no doubt have for them and their kind good and sufficient reasons for making false and misleading statements as to some historical records, and totally forgetting or demeaning others. An early queen of Egypt was a descendant of the Ethiopian or Negro race. It is conceded by some of the modern writers, some of them going so far as to say that her skin was very black, and a few of them acknowledge that it was this black queen who placed the first fleet of warships on the River Nile. They have no doubt traced this woman back to where they are satisfied that she was descended in a direct lineal line from Zipporah, the black and Ethiopian wife of Moses. We read very little of these two women, because modern writers seek to obscure them, and our ministers of the gospel never preach or lecture on that part of the Bible in which they are mentioned. Why? Because if they do, they must give credit to the black people. In this connection, I do not speak of biblical history only. Were it not for the fact that the dimensions of this book would be extended far beyond what was intended, I could begin even with Hannibal, the Carthaginian general, and record of accomplishments of black men without the intervening of any long periods of time, down to the time of Alexander Dumas, Toussaint Louverture.